When you flashed, I saw what looked like a figure standing in the figure.
Okay, this is Green Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's like our EMF meter started this going haywire.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
We'll be right back. Interested in ghosts, UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Couple more quick reminders before I forget.
We have to make Keith redo that with your hosts, Doug and Scott L. and Bonnie
Lou. We got to recut those.
Bonnie,
you're right.
Bonnie Lou.
Bonnie Lou.
Jeez, my name changes every week.
Yeah. We are going to have one of our illustrious Mid-South Paranormal Trivia questions tonight.
Ooh, oh, yeah. We need to give the number out.
We need to give the number out. Go ahead, Doug.
I just put it away. Our phone number is, of course, not on that screen. It is area code 605-475-8590. Mm-hmm. And then when the nice recorded lady asks for it, our secret conference ID is 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Yes, I don't know when we're going to do that yet. I just don't know.
But people are welcome to call in and listen to the show on the telephone. If you've got unlimited nights and weekends, do it. Why not?
Yeah,
definitely. Area code 605-475-8590, followed by 555-1081, and the pound sign. Of course, that's up on our website at ghostlytalk.com.
So sometime tonight, I'm going to ask the illustrious question, mm-hmm. the ridiculously hard trivia question.
I read it. It is extremely hard this week.
It's a real tough one. And
you almost have to be an insider to know this one.
Oh, yes, it is brutal. Yes, so check that out. Keep your ears open for that. Call in to get yourself a free ticket from the Mid-South Paranormal Conference. Also, this coming Wednesday, Lorraine Warren will be on the show for a very special evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Ghostly Talk this Wednesday, August 22nd. Check that out. Okay. In the meantime, though, we have plenty to do tonight.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited about this next one.
Timothy Schultz, the documentary filmmaker who has brought together his interest in the paranormal, his desire to create a compelling film. Now, check this out, all right? This is what makes Tim cool, and we got to be really nice to him, too.
I read this, and I was like, holy cow, I got to talk to him so bad. I can't even see straight.
I'm sure he's grinning right now, too. In 1989, Tim won the lottery, becoming one of the youngest lottery winners in history, enabling him the ability to pursue his dreams of entertaining others. He has been featured in numerous media outlets, including the recent appearance on TLC, which is the Learning Channel. Tim holds a degree in journalism with an emphasis on film and has worked throughout the field of television production. He is now undertaking a journey into some of the most haunted places on the planet, and an unprecedented look at the phenomena known as ghosts. We talk about that here, don't we, a little bit?
I've heard a little bit about ghosts on Ghostly Talk.
He has tracked down an elite group of paranormal experts, spiritual leaders, and scientists, and has spent the night alone in what is said to be the most active room of the Stanley Hotel, the same hotel which helped inspire the classic horror novel, The Shining. Tim's goal with this project is to create the most cutting-edge, truthful, yet entertaining ghost documentary out there. Tim's website is chasingtheshadows.com. You can check it out there.
The trailer's up.
Yeah, the trailer's up there, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And with that, we'd like to welcome Timothy Schultz to Ghostly Talk. How are you doing tonight, Timothy?
Hey, great. How about you?
I'm a little tired now.
After that bio, my goodness.
I'll tell you what, we'll keep this brief because I don't want to talk about this the whole time, but you don't get to talk. I've only met one person in my life that actually won the lottery, okay? And I don't want to ride you on this, man, but obviously one of the youngest people in history to win the lottery. I mean, that must be one of the most exhilarating. It had to have been pretty cool, huh, Tim?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe. It's definitely something that I don't take for granted. It's been a life-changing experience, and, it's amazing. I can't really, every day I wake up, and, it's just kind of like is this real? You know, it's just, it's really hard to believe. It was a life-changing thing, and it's given me the chance to pursue my dreams. And I went back to school and was able to go to college and put myself through there and study film and journalism and just, you know, really do what I want, which is entertaining others, and also have a huge interest in the paranormal and, you know, what exactly happens when we die. So two of them together to start this project.
Well, I need to give him big props, though, because okay. I think, because, you know, me and Amber, we sit around trying to think of, you know, these harebrained ideas to make ourselves independently wealthy, right?
Yeah.
But we don't think that far ahead. We're like, okay, I want to be independently wealthy. And I have to commend you, because I think if I was in your position, I'd be like in the Caribbean right now with, like, on the beach with you know, numerous alcoholic beverages, just going, yeah, this is the rest of my life right here. Whereas
that
you,
sounds so boring to me. Yeah. Bonnie and I.
Thanks, <Doug. laughs> That just sounds so boring to me, Scott.
Bonnie and I have talked about it. Okay?
At great length.
We've talked about it because we do play the Mega Million game, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when it gets up over 100 million, we always talk about this. And it's up over 100 million now. And we were chatting last time, and I said, Bonnie, if you won all this money, what would you do? And she says, I'd stay home. And I thought, that's absolutely brilliant. Because most people would be like, oh, I'm going to travel. I'm going to do all these great things, you know. And the thing is we travel so much.
We travel enough.
We travel so much for Ghostly Talk that it would be a treat just to stay home.
I would
home.
Actually pay someone to be my stand-in at conferences.
Would you please go to this conference for me and pretend?
Just tell everyone you're Bonnie Joe. They'll know.
Well, you went out and did something, though, and that's what I commend you about, Timothy, is you actually you're taking this time you have, the money you have, and putting it into something that other people can enjoy and learn from, and I think that's just fantastic.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. Really appreciate that. I mean, to me, I feel like it was meant to happen in a way. I mean, not to be, well, basically, I had a dream about it, actually, and, I wouldn't totally consider myself a psychic or something, but, you know, I think everybody has some sort of ability, but that's just my own personal opinion. But I had this dream a few months prior to winning that I actually won, and it was so realistic that I woke up, you know, thinking that I was still in the dream. And so, I mean, it took a while to realize that it was a dream, and that's how it's just very realistic. And so I was convinced that I was going to win, and then a few months later I actually did, and it was just really, really very surreal, that's for sure.
Well, that's awesome. Got to be a surreal feeling to go through something like that. I mean, I think it's established that it's a fantastic thing for that to happen to anybody. And like I said, I'm glad to see you're actually doing something like that. And you have this product that you have people that you're offering people to check out.
Thank you very much. And I think anybody can pursue their dreams, and everybody should pursue their dreams. And for me, this is just, it's kind of like fuel on the fire, so to speak. It just kind of gave me that extra edge just to really get out there and a jump start, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, completely.
I feel very thankful, and I definitely, I don't think money makes happiness, and it doesn't make you who you are, but it can give you the ability to do certain things, like for me, make this film. So,
One thing I want to say to you about that also, too, is, you know, everything happens for a reason, and when you said a couple of seconds ago that, you know, you said something to the effect, alluded to the fact that, I felt like this was supposed to happen to me. You know, that's just assurance in yourself, I think. And I know going through life, I don't think there are any coincidences or anything like that. I think this stuff happens for a reason. And I think this happened to you for a reason also, Timothy.
And so we could get such phenomenal things such as, I mean, I watched the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't wait for this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the most haunted places in the United States has got to be, obviously, Myrtle's Plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Who here hasn't heard of it? Raise your hand. No hands. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean,
I'm kidding.
Okay. you got to go there. You got to investigate it, and you got to. This has got to have been one of the most interesting journeys of your life, because you got to work with and meet all kinds of people who I'm sure prior to undertaking this project you never would have even approached. I mean, you probably read books or saw them on TV or whatever, but you actually got to put together quite a team and learn undoubtedly more than us. So that's why you get to share with us the things that you've learned and the things that you've done for this project. So why the Myrtles and why the people who you put together to do this with you?
Well, I mean, it's all been very, very fascinating to be able to meet all these different, you know, diverse, tons of different viewpoints and perspectives on what exactly happens to people when they die and how to communicate with them. I mean, and there's just so many different outlooks on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very, very fascinating. And I've had, you know, I feel very lucky to have met a lot of the people that I've met during the filming of this project. And specifically, you know, we met, I got to interview a quantum physicist, Dr. Claude Swanson. He's very, just hearing a quantum physicist's point of view on it, I think is, you know, very fascinating. What they're doing in that field is really interesting. And, you know, the demonologist, Mr. John Zappas.
Oh, love him.
Oh, no, you brought up John.
I love him.
I should have warned you, Timothy, before we came on the air. You shouldn't have. You don't want to say Jay-Z on the air with Bonnie because she freaks out. But that's... But we're into it now, so we got to deal with it.
John Z is the man. I love him.
John's the man.
She's now running her fingers through her hair. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we've got, we're prepping to talk about John Z.
What was your experience like with John?
Well, he seems like a great, you know, a great guy. He's very, very, just to be able to interview him and to talk to him about some of his experiences throughout his career, it's just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's many people out there like him that have had so many different experiences and, you know, have such a background in the field. And, you know, it's just an honor, to be honest, just to interview him. So.
Yeah, there are not. He is definitely quite unique. And I have to say that working with him, did you interview him for the show or for the movie, or did you, is he going to be, like, in it? Did you work with him in the field?
We did both.
Okay.
And I don't know... I mean, we've shot for the past, this film has been in production for the past 2 years, and so we have so much footage that we don't know exactly what exactly is going to make the cut because we're still filming,
mm-hmm.
and we hope to have a version this fall, but, you know, for at least to submit to film festivals, and eventually, of course, it'll be picked up by a distributor, but we're... To answer your question, I really don't know exactly what is going to be in the movie, so I don't want to say something that's not going to be in there, but we did interview him as well as work with him in the field a little bit, and both experiences were just phenomenal.
Right. The heart of the question was about, did you get a chance to work with him? And because I got a chance only to work with him one time. Work really closely with him
North Carolina.
Yeah. And let me tell you, it changed my life. I had been ghost hunting for, 5 years or 4 years before that.
Mm.
And working with John for one night, totally changed everything I thought I knew about ghost hunting and about working in the field at all. And he just is that experienced. And he is that knowledgeable that and it's just natural to him. He doesn't know that all of us don't know what he knows. I mean, he doesn't know what we haven't learned yet. And so he had to sit us down and fill us in on what was going on. And I was like, this is just absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I never in a million years would I have thought that I would run into a situation like this and where I would have needed John Zaffis to be there in order to mm-hmm. take control and tell us what was going on and how to proceed. And he was just absolutely amazing to work with. So I'm glad you got that opportunity, Tim.
I feel very lucky. I mean, he's quite a guy. And he definitely knows, you know, he knows what he's talking about. He seems to know what he's talking about. And I feel it was definitely an honor, you know.
He also attracts things, which is kind of notorious on a ghost hunt. When we were in, weren't you guys in the woods with him in Gettysburg, Bonnie?
I was not.
You weren't, but they were, and evidently between him and Jonathan and Tom, it was just evidently the most active night in the world. You know, like the spirits were just just wanting to talk to them and get out and see them. So it was just evidently pretty amazing. But I didn't go on. I was on that trip, but I didn't get to go in the woods with them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't doubt it was amazing. He's quite a guy.
Who else did you work with on this this movie?
We've worked with Mark Macy.
Oh,
we love him too.
We're going to finally get to meet him in October.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's the, yeah, there's another person, you know, I felt very honored to meet, and he's just a great guy, very positive energy. And we had the honor of doing an interview and working with him with his device called the Illuminator. Are you guys familiar with
that?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, you know, he has this thing set up, and it's just an amazing device. It, you know, I'm not exactly sure how it works myself. It emits some sort of, I don't want to talk to aspects of this and then look like a fool, but, you know, it emits some kind of this field of energy that is theoretically, spirits are able to manipulate this into form on these Polaroid pictures. And I don't mean, you know, here's some sort of, you know, something that might be a face or something that might be a spirit. I mean, these are like actual physical looking human beings on these Polaroids. And it's really, I was blown away myself. And then again, I don't know what is going to be making the cut of the movie, but it was quite an honor to witness that as well. So
that's absolutely incredible. What's the underlying thread? What is the vision, the overall vision of Chasing the Shadows?
Well, it's kind of funny. It started out as, you know, strictly a ghost documentary where, you know, I just wanted to know what a ghost was and whether or not I could have an experience. And throughout the past couple years, it's kind of evolved into being more of a movie about, you know, is communication with the deceased, you know, how can you do that? Is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
What ways are people doing that? And, you know, it's become more of a real experiment is what it is. It's a real experiment to try to communicate with the deceased and just basically looking at it from all kinds of different perspectives. And it's been mind-blowing to me to be able to witness all these different areas. And, you know, one thing, we went to Africa not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
to Benin, which is considered the birthplace of voodoo.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, we got to work with a fetisher over there, which is basically the equivalent of a voodoo priest, and had access to these special areas that most people don't get to witness. And, you know, luckily we had our cameras there and we could capture these rituals. And it's just, I mean, that's another form of communicating with the deceased that typically people don't see in the mainstream media. So it was really, I feel very lucky to be able to have captured that.
What did you guys, I mean, as far as this, I mean, as far as the birth, is this, you said this is the birthplace of voodoo, am I correct?
Yes. It's archaeological evidence says basically that around 4,000 years ago, people were practicing voodoo, and it originated in this country that's now known as Benin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, it's just, I think around 50% of the population over there practices voodoo. So that tells you something. But
oh, yeah.
Is that their form of religion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. And so they are active practitioners of their religion, and that religion is voodoo, which is probably a pretty foreign concept in, you know, American
minds.
Oh,
yeah. Well,
so that's absolutely fascinating. When, how often do you travel then for this project? Is it once a month? Is it, we did a huge rush and then have tapered off?
Well, it definitely varies. You know, some months we have two or three shoots, and some months we don't have any, because a lot of it is in post-production and the edit, and, you know, it is a movie, so we still have to go out and we have to get music and sound design and so forth. But at the same time, it's a documentary and it's not fiction. And so we have to go out and actually capture the footage rather than, you know, have scripts and have people write up, you know, it's an art of its own, a documentary.
And have you seen a ghost?
I've had a few experiences, definitely, in this film. You know, one thing that is profiled in this film, we have this device that's known as the Telephone to the Dead.
Yep.
And it's Christopher Moon's.
Yep.
This particular device is Christopher Moon's. He's the president of Haunted Times magazine.
Yeah.
And this device to me is pretty remarkable. There's these voices. Are you guys familiar with how it works?
Yes. As a matter of fact, in Arkansas, we got to, we didn't get to meet Chris because we had just arrived, but we did get to hear his speech about it.
Ah.
So we got to see the slides and hear about it, but we didn't get to physically talk to him because he was going one way and we were going the other. But we are familiar with it, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's on this device. I mean, I've heard lots of different voices. I mean, I've heard voices on there call my name, Tim, Timothy, you know, males, females, so different genders. And to me, that device, there's no question in my mind that it works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's just amazing. We shot at this this mansion that was supposedly haunted in downtown Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly there were two failed exorcisms that had taken place here, and all kinds of poltergeist activity had been reported for years. And so we went in there and kind of tailed Christopher Moon, and they did this investigation, and one of the things that they did was have this device turned on, and in the process, I had a pocket Bible in my pocket, and I didn't tell anybody. It was funny because I just kind of, you know, I'm not a total Christian, but I believe that it holds power, as do a lot of religions and personal beliefs in a higher existence. But so anyway, I had this thing in there in my pocket for, you know, kind of superstitious reasons of maybe it would protect me or something. I don't know what I was thinking, but so it was in my pocket, and this device is turned on, and there are these balls of light that keep flying like near my pocket, and at the same time that this is happening through this device, it's saying things such as, you know, like Bibles, you know, Bibles don't work, Jesus, and all this different, you know, some kind of sorcery, and just things that I thought were directed at me, and I don't know.
So this all added up into, wow, this is quite an experience because it meant something to you. Mm-hmm. You know what? We have to go to break.
Let's take a quick break.
So we want to take a quick break, Tim, and then we'll come back and I'm going to ask you again, have you seen a ghost? Because I want to know, again, more stories that have affected you on your journey to creating your movie. Your website, chasingtheshadows.com.
We'll be right back after this.
Scott L. I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah. and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Join the three paramigos for some serious discussion of the paranormal.
She wants to know how John prepares himself for what he sees before he goes out on some of these investigations.
I just take my glasses off.
And as usual, some surprising guest.
I was going to contract the viewer of Rodney Dangerfield. Can you hear me, Rodney?
Hey, what is this place? Where am I? I need to fire my agent. I get no respect.
Some very serious topics will be discussed.
Did you ever share with everybody my nickname for you?
No. Go ahead and tell them.
Tiny.
From the serious to satire, the Three Paramigos radio program, Tuesday nights on the APEC Radio Network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central.
The Three Paramigos are we.
Ask that question yet, guys?
What question?
No, not yet. No. Make them wait.
Make them wait for the question?
It's
a good question.
What are your thoughts, Doug?
Timothy, we're doing a what do they call that, contest?
Yeah, you heard about it in the first half an hour.
Yeah, so
I think we'll wait a little bit longer.
All right.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And I'm
drinking her water, and we put her right on the spot. That was pretty clever of you, Scott. That was good timing.
That's how I always do it. Yeah. I do it every time. We're talking with Timothy Schultz.
His website is www. Well, I don't know if the www is there, but I know that it's chasingtheshadows.com.
That's right.
Awesome. So how many books have you read on the paranormal and stuff? Like, who are your influences? How's that? As if you were a rock band, right? Who are your influences?
Well, you know, as far as books and stuff, I've read some Stephen King. Well, you know, I've read some Stephen King.
Right.
The Shining. You know, that was a huge, you know, that's an inspiration to the Stanley Hotel, so that's a huge influence. But as far as, you know, I've read a book, recently I read a book on the Myrtle's Plantation because, you know, throughout the research for that place, and I've read a bunch of psychic books and, you know, just a lot of stuff in the field.
What'd you get out of that? Because, you know, when I read the books about psychics, you know, you too are psychic, or you can have ESP, or here's how to
sure.
put the whammy on someone, you know.
Charm style.
Yeah, I've read these books, and I find the ESP style books, first of all, it is one of my topics. I love everything about extrasensory perception. I just think it's so cool. I grew up reading about Jane Roberts and Lorraine Warren and all these folks, and
yeah.
And I was just always interested in ESP and things like that. Well, but for the books, they tend to always be just a little bit foo-foo, I think, might be the best way to describe it. Just a little bit, like they're teasers.
Well, it could be, you know, they're wanting to. Plus, they're wanting to sell their products, so.
Well, sometimes, yeah. Now, back in the 70s, back in the 70s, there weren't so many products, but there were, you know, it was just so, I don't know, it's hard to describe even for a talk show host. I just can't, I don't know how to describe how lacking some of them are. I mean, you do learn a lot, though.
Sure.
You learn a lot. The auras, the different you know, things you can do and see and stuff like that, and I've been able to see auras now, but it's really freaky, but I don't think been able to read someone's mind or
thank God.
I know, you're filthy thoughts. Oh, That's very violent of you, Bonnie, to think that. No, I just don't, I haven't been able to do that or move anything with my mind, which of course would be really cool to have psychokinesis. But, you know,
I've had enough experiences with people that have intuitive abilities that I believe that it's actually possible. And, I've actually met all kinds of people in the field, and some of them have been kind of, I don't want to say the word kooky, but, some of them actually, I'm the type of person where I can't just take something at face value and believe it. I have to experience it for myself. And so some of these psychics, though, what they say is just, when you put two and two together, it just blows me away. I can't believe that, how could somebody know this information without, it's just not possible by a rational explanation to be able to know and have the realization that some of these people have. And, not to mention, I think our government used to, and a lot of governments, or a few anyway, have used psychic spies throughout history.
Yes, they have.
I mean, that tells you something, I think. And
yes, they have. As a matter of fact, we've talked with some. So,
yeah.
Remote viewers.
Police departments are, more police departments nowadays are employing psychics for
police
their investigative work.
Yeah, police departments with psychics, the government with remote viewers. Lot of this stuff has gone on. Now, on the other extreme is things like Camp Chesterfield. I have to say, I had a very enjoyable time at Camp Chesterfield. That's a spiritualist retreat in Indiana, just north of Indianapolis. And we went up there, Bonnie and me and Sean went up there, for Easter, as a matter of fact. We attended Easter service at Camp Chesterfield. And it was a little on the showmanship side.
A little?
Okay, a lot. But I thoroughly enjoyed myself regardless. And
I enjoyed the hotel.
Yes, the only Comfort Inn we've stayed at all year.
The hotel was wonderful.
But the camp was really fun. We got to do that. And that was actually very spontaneous, Timothy, because we didn't know what we planned to do before we went down there. Just sort of, well, let's go to Camp Chesterfield. Okay, it's Easter, but let's go anyway.
They didn't ask for my vote prior to the decision either.
Yes, we didn't ask for Bonnie, and so she lets us know every time. But that's the kind of adventure. That's a kind of adventure. And you obviously have been, because you were telling us, Africa and, the birthplace of voodoo and then Stanley
one
Hotel.
Thing,
go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, and one thing, in Africa that with the psychic phenomena, this fetisher, the voodoo priest over there, we brought over a video on this miniature video player of, I should back up and say we were in this private mansion. Yeah, the same private mansion I was referring to earlier in downtown Denver. Mm-hmm. And there was a Christopher Moon's mother, who was also part of his investigative team, had this encounter with the spirit that haunts that place, or supposedly haunts that place. And it was so bad that she had to be taken out of the building. And, she really had a huge reaction where she just was very upset and overcome by the energy of the spirit, and it was bad. And so, but we took this video and showed it to this voodoo priest over there, not telling him anything, and he speaks Fon, I believe. It's some, African dialect that he doesn't understand English, one lick of English. And so we played this video for him over there, and after watching it, he said, it's the spirit of a little girl with long hair, and the men shouldn't have been there, and she was trying to get help from this woman, and she was really upset. But the fact that this guy could tell that just by looking at the iPod, and it was the same thing. Supposedly, it is a little girl that haunts that place, and so, there's no way that he could have known that. I don't know.
Wow.
Pretty fascinating.
Yeah, and he didn't, study it on the internet or anything. I mean, this was,
Africa. And when we showed him the video, it was, we had a translator there, two translators that went from Fon to French to English.
Oh, my gosh.
How he would have known that it was a little girl that, was supposedly the energy of those, you know, that made this happen. There's just no way he could have known that, I don't think. It's pretty interesting.
Wow.
I just think there's so much to the mind and so much to what people can perceive that is, you know, our senses are very limited for what we accept in society, when in reality the senses can sense so much more. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, but I respect, you know, anybody. I respect all opinions.
Of course.
Yeah.
How did you, what started it? What was your first, because people ask us this all the time. For some reason, we go out to these interviews, or we go out to conferences, and people say, how do you get started, even though it's been published all over the place? So
yeah, no,
everybody can
just
look
go to
up
the website now.
Any given moment, they can look up how I got started in the paranormal, or what really started me off. But I don't know about you, Timothy. What?
Well, you know, I've always had an interest in the subject, and ever since I was probably around 4 years old or 5 years old, and I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and there was this, like this shadowy figure of a person that walked into my room, and I woke up, and, you know, it really scared me. It honestly, sincerely scared the crap out of me, and I was just a little kid, and I didn't understand. And then it walked out of my room, and I was still awake, and I swore up and down that a person had walked in the room. And then later on, my mother came in the room, and she said, no, nobody else is in the house. And, you know, so to me, I was convinced that that had to have been, you know, some sort of a spirit or a person or somebody broke in the house, but there were no signs of forced entry or anything like that. So that's, I guess, to answer your question, you know, I've always had an interest in the paranormal and what actually is reality and what, you know, I just think there's so much more, and I think it's the great unknown, because it's one commonality that we all have. I mean, we all pass away. So,
but do we
really? You know.
Well, right. That's the thing. Well, we do have to. Our bodies do break down after a while and quit.
Yeah, like mine.
Mine was about, you know, a year ago. But what? Who wrote Decimal?
Scott. That was Mark Kimmel.
Mark Kimmel was a
author.
An author, but he was a stockbroker or something. He was
a big time business guy.
Big time finance, you know, high rolling, you know, the suits with the French cuffs and, you know, dress to impress and the presentations. I mean, we're talking way high up, big businessman, right? Had a UFO encounter.
Oh, really?
Quit doing his highfalutin business stuff and went into writing books, fiction books based on an idea of what, you know, could be causing these UFO encounters and things, and started a publishing company. I mean, this guy, it completely changed his life, right? We know your life completely changed, right? What do you think would have happened? What would you be doing now? What did you want to be? How old are you now? You're not 21, right?
No, I'm actually, and I hate to say it, but I just turned 30.
yeah, get with me in 10 years. I don't feel one iota of sympathy, okay, because I just turned 40. I did have my nervous breakdown in May. Anyway, so what happens is, I turned 40 in March, and then I had my nervous breakdown in May. Okay. What do you think you would have been doing at 30? Would you have been, you know, stocking shelves or had a desk job or been, you know, completely tied to the television, watching TV all day, all night, after work and that kind of thing, and have like 16 kids? I mean, what was your vision of your life?
Real nice outlook you have there, Doug.
Obviously, I must be a bit tainted. I give people no credit whatsoever. maybe you would have been an author. And
gigolo, some cool.
I don't know. Gold-plated teeth and everything. I don't know. Maybe, but what was your vision? What did you think you'd be doing at 30?
Well, I've always wanted to entertain people, and I've always had big dreams, and I've always wanted to entertain millions of people. And
so you'd have been on, like, Last Comic Standing? I mean, would you have been making shows like that?
Probably making shows, you know. I'd probably still be doing, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, well, I don't know. I mean, it's all theoretical, but I would still be doing what I'm doing, I think, just a different, if it wasn't chasing the shadows, it would be something else having to do with the paranormal, probably.
And
I don't know, it's just very interesting to me.
I agree. I think that probably you would have been doing that. What I think what I'm trying to get at is,
yeah,
when I was 30, right, I was totally engrossed in, I had other hobbies, I had whole different sets of friends, I was a wild kid, I was at parties, I mean, I was just living it up, and I had a job, you know, I was going to my job, I was doing my thing, but the paranormal wasn't a part of my life when I was 30, other than it was very still interesting to me. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't doing a whole bunch of stuff until I found on the internet,
uh-huh,
I found that people go out to cemeteries and they ghost hunt, right? So I have to thank the internet for getting me into my new hobby, my new, you know, click of friends,
yeah,
my new everything is and of yeah, course doing ghost.
There's really a lot out there.
Yeah, and the internet really completely changed my world. But
yeah,
so I don't know what would you have been doing at 30? I imagine you'd be living your day to day life and probably involved in projects like chasing the shadows, but probably not to the extent of chasing the shadows. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea that this project would go on for as long as it's gone on. It's over 2 years now, and probably by the time it really hits the public, it could be three. Well, we are going to go to film festivals this coming fall, but it's just turned into something that much bigger than what I had intended, and it's not...
In a good way or a bad way?
Oh, in a good way. It's just what it's done is, you know, I've taken the question of, can I have communication with someone that's deceased? And the question has just evolved, and there's been more questions that keep coming and coming and coming. I just want to answer them, and it's more of an experiment of, you know, just the field is so vast, and there's so many different aspects to it that you could just go on forever. But I do, you know, we are going to finish it up this fall.
What happens after chasing?
I actually want to write a couple books about lottery winners as well as make other paranormal documentaries. So, I mean, I love what I do. It's so much fun just to meet all these different people, experts, and to go to haunted, you know, places that are supposedly haunted. And, yeah, I have had a lot of experiences, so it's a lot of fun. So I'll probably more of the same, except, you know, maybe the concept will change a little bit, but...
What about paranormal conferences?
You know, I'd definitely love to go. I think there's one this fall that's a really big one. I'm not real familiar with it.
That's definitely how we roll here at Ghostly Talk. We go to a lot of conferences, and there's actually two humongous ones coming up. There's two huge ones, there's several small ones, right?
Uh-huh,
the two
uh-huh.
huge ones, the two most noteworthy ones are, of course, UNIFCON.
Yeah, yeah.
In,
yeah.
That's in
yeah,
October.
Yeah, yeah.
UNIFCON's sure. a four-day event in University Park, Pennsylvania in October, and of course the other big one is one that's near and dear to our hearts, and that's going to be Mid-South.
Yeah.
The Mid-South Paranormal Convention in Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. And when is that?
That is...
September 21st through the
23rd. Wow, Bonnie.
I've been asked about five times tonight in the chat room. That's why I know.
And that one's near and dear to our hearts. And by the way, we will be premiering the movie that we were in.
Yeah.
Not quite like Chasing the Shadows. As you might be able to tell, I don't know, from talking to us for the short amount of time, we tend to enjoy humor a little bit too much. And So this is a mockumentary. This is our own untitled, as of yet untitled, I think.
Argue with Andy and Tony
thing.
About that.
The producers invited us on because it was supposed to be funny, and it indeed turned out to be funny, and we were just actors in it. We didn't write it or anything like that. Although a lot of it was ad libbed, but we I think that was a grand experiment in and of itself.
Oh, and so much fun.
And it was a lot of fun. So that we're going to be showing that at Mid-South in Louisville, Kentucky in September.
Oh, very cool.
In September, yeah. Those are the two big ones. But if you can make it to UNIFCON or Mid-South or any of the ones that we'll be at, I would love to meet you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be an honor. I'd love to.
I think that would be fantastic. But unfortunately, we're like minutes
up against it, unfortunately.
Totally sucks. So I do want to remind Timothy Schultz. Your website is chasingtheshadows.com with no hyphens, no nothing. It's just chasingtheshadows.com.
That's right.
Your trailer's up. I was watching it.
Yeah, check it out.
We should have a new one up within a couple weeks.
That's awesome. So, that is awesome. And are you going to keep us up to date on this project?
Absolutely. And the
awards that you win?
Well, I hope. That would be nice, but yeah,
I know.
Make this thing as good as possible. So
yeah, those are very coveted awards because they take competition very seriously at those film festivals. So I can't wait. Even if all you end up doing is showing, it's still a remarkable feat, a remarkable accomplishment to be able to have done. And I know, just talking to you, I know you've learned so much over the past couple of years doing this project that I could ask you questions for hours on end.
Oh, yeah, it's just, it's been so much fun, and it's definitely changed my views on spirits and the afterlife, and, you know, I used to be afraid of ghosts, and now I'm really not, for the most part. I'm really, you know, I think that it's more natural, and I don't accept everything that I have, you know, that I'm told, but as soon as you have an experience for yourself, it's pretty hard for somebody to tell you, oh, that wasn't, you know, a spirit or something when you've actually had an experience for yourself. So, I don't know. It's just a lot of fun.
Very well said. Thank you, Timothy.
Hang on the line for one second, Timothy. We're just going to go to break here. Don't leave us just yet.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Coming up.
Yes, coming up is Jackie Gardner, so I want you all to turn your internet browsers to...
Gardner, Doug.
What did I say?
Gardner.
I was thinking Philip Gardner. Okay, Jackie.
Gotcha.
Jackie with her new last name. No, Jackie Gardner. Learn about ghosts.
This is a site that's been around for a long time.
It has.
And
so
it'd be really cool to talk to Jackie.
Learnaboutghosts.com, and we'll be right back with Jackie.